racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Once again, welcome to the Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupka, so proud to be alongside Jay Randolph Jr. He's better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Jay, well, we've been talking about it for over a year. It's almost here. Next week, Belle Reve in your backyard, and it's going to be the 100th PGA Championship. What's the feelings?
Well, Bob, I was out at the golf course on last Friday, and I know they're doing a kind of a little display for some of the media folks at the merchandise center this week, and you know, people will be able to start getting their credentials, and they've already done the volunteer stuff. I think we're ready. As I told you before we came on, you know, we have not had a major championship in this town on the PGA Tour side since 1992. And you were here in 92, and it was a wonderful championship at that time. It was the most successful PGA championship financially. The Golf Pro, it was the last time that the Golf Pro, imagine this, that the host professional got the merchandise tent. He made off like a bandit. He got a nice place down in Florida. But I think, you know, what I'm looking forward to most is seeing people like you and Janice and friends that I've known from back in the day on the PGA Tour, but also hopefully the city doing a fine job displaying itself. We've had some problems over the last 5 or 6 years, obviously the situation in Ferguson, Missouri, that some people may remember. So I hope that the city shines, and I hope it's a great championship, and I know we'll talk more about it later in the show.
Yeah, we certainly will. But right now, I think worth mentioning, obviously, Dustin Johnson just crushed that field in Canada. It wasn't that easy, but he makes it look easy. Wins by 3 shots, a lot of weather delays, even one on the final day. But here's what the world's number one player had to say after that victory.
It's definitely a very good win. I'm very proud of the way I played today. It was, you know, I knew I was going to have to go out and play very well. There was a lot of guys, a lot of really good players too, you know, right around the lead, within a couple shots of the lead. And this golf course, if you can get it going, you can shoot some low scores out here. So it's never going to be back here. So it was big for me to get the win here. You know, I like this golf course a lot. I felt like, you know, I've been so close here a couple times. So yeah, I knew I was going to have to go out and play a good round of golf if I wanted to win. And for me to come out and play really solid, play the way I did, I'm very proud of that, and I'm very pleased with the win.
You know what, Jay, with all the discussion the last few years, Tiger on and off, you know, the circuit, the heroics by Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson somehow probably not getting the spotlight that he really deserves. I mean, 19th career win. I mean, that's amazing.
No, that's a huge number. When I realized that he was 18 during the coverage, I was like, damn. But that's how good he is. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's the best player in the world, because I think we've got about 8 or 9 best players in the world. But I feel very comfortable saying he's the most talented and athletic player that's out there today. And when you have that combination, you're going to win a lot. He's won 19 times. The only thing he hasn't done this year is win a major. I told somebody 2 weeks ago, Dustin Johnson's going to win the PGA at Belle Reve. I didn't think he was going to win at Canada. I kind of wish he didn't, because I would have wanted him a little bit more greedy here. But his mother-in-law grew up here, Janet Jones Gretzky. You know, I've talked about it, Bob, that I firmly believe that one of the best things that ever happened to Dustin Johnson was coming into contact with one of the 3 greatest hockey players of all time, Wayne Gretzky. And I think Gretzky has had a little bit of a calming effect on his mindset. And I think, you know, he's in perfect condition. He's the player of the year, even right now without a major championship. So, a tremendous representative for the RBC.
Yeah, and we really had luck going for him. I mean, you know, Wayne Gretzky, Canada. I mean, so a lot of added pressure maybe on Dustin Johnson. He goes in there, number one in the world. And as you mentioned, he is an RBC ambassador. I think RBC certainly happy about that. Well, he is number one in the FedEx Cup rankings, and here's what he says about that.
Well, I have two events before the playoffs start, so it's, you know, anytime you can – you know, build your lead in the FedEx Cup points. It's, you know, very good. You know, I'm jockeying for position going into Atlanta. And, you know, obviously right now I'm in a very good position. I'm going to have to continue to play well, though, if I want to be in that number one spot heading into Atlanta for the Tour Championship.
Yeah, of course, he goes in there, Jay. Goes in at number one. You got to beat him, otherwise he puts another 10 mil in the pocket.
Absolutely. I mean, he... That's why I think it's going to be so interesting to see what he does at the PGA because, Bob, as I said, player of the year and standing apart from the rest, but you know, and our listeners know, that if we judge, we put the majors on a higher pedestal, as we should, and he hasn't won one of those this year. He's also never won the FedEx Cup. So, you know, that's something that he would like to add to his trophy case, his repertoire. I'm sure that they really need the $10 million. But, you know, that's part of establishing yourself as one of the elite players during the era you played. And he has done that with everything except winning a FedEx Cup.
Well, kudos to Wee Kim and Ben Ahn. How about Keegan Bradley, former PGA champion?
Wow.
All of a sudden seems to be coming back. Was severely hurt by the ban on anchor putting. Then he got injured. But right now seems to be getting his game back.
No, Bob, the last 3 weeks, I mean, he has really been phenomenal. And I believe he was one of 11 guys that played in the 2008 BMW Championship, which was at Belrive, that is in the field next week for the PGA. Not that that means anything. I just was being the golf geek that I am, looking who played in 2008. But it's nice to see. You know, you almost got a sense that maybe the Keegan Bradley's best days had come and gone, and he was kind of a hanger-on. Uh-uh. He looks like he's back. And how about Tommy Fleet? Mr. Fleetwood, looking for his first major next week, finished sixth, which jumps him to 11 in the world, and again, one of those stalwarts for the Euro side in France.
Well, it's awful appetizing to me. Tommy Fleetwood, Jay Randolph Jr., under the golden arches at St. Louis. Man, I can't wait. He's a good guy. You're going to like him.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we've had two. When you look at the major championships contested at Belrive, they've both been South Africans. Gary Player with his fiberglass shafts completing the career Grand Slam in 65 at the Open, and then 92, one of the nicest cats you and I have ever met in our lifetimes, Nick Price.
Yeah, certainly, Nick, one of the good guys ever to play the game. All right, it's going to be a little sad at the Bridgestone Invitational this week, being held for the last time at Firestone Country Club.
Yeah, you and I hate this. I mean, I can't stand this, to be honest with you. And anybody that's ever been to Firestone, anybody's been to the community of Akron, this stinks. I know that, you know, sometimes things get lost in the shuffle and progress. And yeah, I guess they're going to have a senior players event there, but this stinks. The Diamond Grill, the people there, Tiger owning it during a lot of the years that, you've gone, and I was lucky enough to be there, and I love this golf course. Here's the first tee, and go ahead and try and play this beast. And it's still got some teeth in it after all these years. Really, really disappointed that this one's going away, Bob.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments. That Diamond Grill, what a place that was. All the players would go there. You didn't need a credit card. You give them your business card.
Gotta have cash.
They mail you a bill. I mean, pretty savvy. What about Tiger, though? He owned Firestone twice. Actually, three times, I guess. Twice he won it, three times in a row. 99, 2000, 2001. Then did the trifecta again, 05, 06, 07. And one of those times he beat Jim Furyk, and I remember doing my interview. I said, "Darn, Tiger, you know this place so well, you can play it in the dark." He actually beat Jim Furyk on that last hole. It was in the dark.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if there is a spot, I mean, this is it. I mean, this is, you know, this is even bigger than and better than Torrey Pines or Bay Hill. I mean, this is the one that he has owned. I don't see why he cannot play well again. There's no indication why he can't. The question is going to be getting himself into contention like he was. The man was the only name on top of the leaderboard through six holes at the British Open that was in the lead. So he got himself in position there, didn't take advantage of it. And you also have to give credit to Molinari. But, you know, this one sets up for a great prelude to the PGA if Tiger can be in the mix. And, of course, it's a great field.
Yeah, some key pairings. Tiger going to be playing with Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Matt Fitzpatrick, former U.S. Yep. Amateur champion. That should be interesting. And Justin Rose and Stenson, a couple of real studs. Rory Hideki is the defending champion. I'm sure he'll be playing well. And I like this pairing, Dustin Johnson and Molinari. I got a little message I could send to Dustin Johnson right now. Molinari's not going to back down, world number one.
Oh, no. I love this pairing with, you know, Molinari being the hottest golfer in the world, now playing Dustin Johnson, who appears to be wanting to take over that slot. You know, you also got Mickelson and Justin Thomas as they prepare. Justin for his defense of the PGA. And, you know, Phil would like to win it. I'll never forget, Bob, in August of 1996, a guy named Phil Mickelson was winning for the fifth time, I believe, that year in 96 and really setting himself apart. But the problem was, over on the other channel, Tiger Woods was winning his third straight U.S. Amateur, and everybody had turned over to watch Tiger out at Pumpkin Ridge. So Phil, you know, would love to win kind of the final PGA Tour event at a place like Firestone. I love this event. As I said earlier, I hate to see it go. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. If you're coming to the PGA, lock it into 550 next week. The Armed Forces Radio Network, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, "Hey, Alexa, play the Grill Room Golf Show." You'll be connected and you'll be listening.
Let's talk a little now about the upcoming 100th playing of the PGA Championship in Jay Randolph's backyard, Belle Reve Country Club. The final field has been set, Jay. It was established as of July 29th. We all know that Wanamaker Trophy at stake. 20 club professionals. Used to be more, Jay. They're down to 20, but what a golden opportunity for these hardworking club professionals to play with the big boys.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, Club Pro's not going to win this championship, and it's rare that one makes the cut, but I don't care. They're the lifeblood of the game. If I would have gotten into the position I'm in now at Normandy, if I was younger, I would have gotten into the PGA of America. There are 29,000 club professionals throughout the United States and beyond. And as you know, they're the lifeblood of the game. And as I tell people, and I tell pros, especially at public facilities, you know, when you're fortunate enough to be around or grow up at a private facility, you have a built-in relationship most of the time with the golf professional. But at public venues, you don't necessarily. And I think there's nothing wrong with the golf pro introducing himself to the customer. And the customer should be able to introduce himself to the golf pro, because you need somebody to lean on in this game. And most people lean on club professionals.
I'm glad you brought that up, because You know, so much of the enjoyment that people can have with the sport of golf not only takes place on the golf course, but off the golf course in a relationship with your club professional. And I know many, yep. many friends of mine with various club pros. It's relationships that certainly stand the test of time. Somebody looking to establish all time, he has a chance to complete the career Grand Slam at Belle Reve, Jordan Spieth. You know, Jay, and you know it well, 13 players in history have won three of the four legs, but only five have won all four of the majors. Nicholas Sarrazin, Hogan Player, and Tiger Woods. Going to be a lot of pressure on Jordan Spieth next week.
Well, it was 53 years ago that the world traveler, Gary Player, got his U.S. Open at Belle Reve, and can Spieth do it next week? Yes. He can do it. You feel like you haven't seen the best Spieth all year. Has it been saving up for the finish for the PGA and the FedEx Cup and the Ryder Cup? We'll see. I think the golf course suits him well, Bob. I think, you know, this is a golf course where, you know, I don't think you're going to see guys overpower it, because I think it's more about a little bit about position, depending on how firm and fast the fairways are, because the greens here are really big, but they only have about four or five quadrants on each green where you can put the hole location. So a guy that's very good with his irons, a guy like Paul Casey, a guy like Justin Rose, you'd think Jordan Spieth, you know, it would be great for the championship. And obviously with it being the 100th playing, if you could have Spieth win the Grand Slam, I mean, you know, I think that's the dream. He or Tiger, obviously, would be the storybook finish.
Absolutely. And, of course, a very good friend of the Grill Room, Reese Jones. His dad designed it originally. He's done so much work there. He'll be part of our celebration at Belle Reve next week. I'm really looking forward to being able to sit down with Jay and Reese together. It will be interesting. Long-range weather forecast first, Jay?
Well, it looks spectacular. We've had, it's been a throwback to 92. The week in 92, it never got above 88 degrees. And the last week or so, the last 4 or 5 days, it's been great. The forecast looks like it's going to be under 90 going into Thursday. And then it looks like it's going to maybe pick up next Thursday and Friday, and we might get a little St. Louis heat to the tune of 93, 94. But, you know, like I said, there'd been a lot of scuttlebutt throughout the summer about the golf course and the condition of the greens, and even some rumors early in the season that they might move it to Valhalla. Well, the membership has stepped up at Belle Reve, this being the 100th championship. I don't know how difficult it'll play. These guys are so good nowadays. I mean, you know, I've heard some people say this could be 16 to 20 under. Maybe it will be. I don't know. The one thing you and I both like about Terry Haig, who sets up the PGA of America golf courses, is he doesn't goof it up. He you know, he puts it out there, and if it's playing where birdies are available, then you make birdies. I think Terry Haig is respected by the players, and I look forward to being a fun championship. I wish, you know, it is a par of 70, so you take away two par fives, and I think part of that, Bob, is them trying to keep it closer to par. But I hope we can get some drama over the last couple of holes.
Well, Kerry Haig is as good gets in the business of setting up a golf course. We'll mention this, and then we'll take a break. The USGA, the RNA, have announced plans to limit use of green reading materials beginning in 2019, and at least one out of every 10,000 people playing golf right now are going to be affected by this ruling.
Bobby, I was watching the Open Championship, and it seemed like every other commercial during the Golf Channel's coverage was for this Golf Logic putting green reading thing. And I thought to myself, what in the world would Sam Snead say about this? I mean, can you imagine Sam looking at some guy on the green, looking at a phone and reading his putt? I just think I'm glad they're doing it. But, you know, this whole thing about book reading and book green books, and you hear the announcers talk about it, you know, just just read the green and go ahead and play. You don't need an encyclopedia of all that they've done to the green. And I just think it's a little too much.
I could not agree anymore.
And when we return, we'll hear from MorningRead.com's Alex Maselli. You know he's got some opinions. We'll talk to him on the Vertical Groove Hotline. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks to all those troops out there. Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Joining us now, Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, the ultimate inside look at the world of golf. Alex, so many things, so little time. First off, want to touch on, you just returned from St. Andrews, the Senior British Open. I mean, covering a golf tournament is one thing, covering it in Scotland's another, and then when you have it at St. Andrews, it's the ultimate. What was it like there? It seemed this year that the players participating have grown even more appreciative of the fact that it was being contested at St. Andrews.
Well, I think that's right. You know, first of all, they hadn't ever had the Senior British at St. Andrews, so that was a big deal to play the old course for 4 days in a tournament. But everybody, and I mean everybody I talked to, was excited to go over there. I mean, Kenny Perry, who, if people remember, was loath to make the trip across the pond, went ahead and rented an entire house on the 18th fairway at the old course for him and his family for the whole week. So that just kind of gives you an understanding of, you know, how excited the players were to make the trip.
All right. We have to talk about the winner. I mean, golly, this gentleman never ceases to amaze. Anytime he gets to the back of my memory or to the back of conversations, he comes like a lightning bolt to the forefront. Talk about Miguel.
Well, I mean, first of all, he's not the winner because he's always been a winner. I mean, if he finished last, he'd be not any different than if he finished first. He's just got a charmed life and, you know, winning, carrying home the claret jug, the alternative claret jug than what they have when you win the Open Championship is a huge thing for him. And, you know, what I thought was interesting is that by doing that, not only does he, you know, obviously is the winner, but he actually gets to play in the Open Championship, which is going to be in Northern Ireland next year. That's part of the benefits of winning the Senior British Open. So, now we're going to have Miguel not only playing senior events in a couple European Tour events, but he's going to be playing in the Open Championship, which is terrific. Great player, played extremely well. They had some tough conditions on Saturday, but just found a way to get it around. And it wasn't just him, though. It was just amazing how good some of those players were. Tom Watson, who basically doesn't pick up a club for 4 months and practiced, he lives in Houston now, found places to practice at this golf course underneath the trees where the grass doesn't grow very well, so he could practice his chipping as the same similar type chipping he would have at the old course. So, I mean, it's just everybody was so prepared and everybody played so well. It was it's such a breath of fresh air when you consider what it's like on the regular tour to see those guys playing those courses and playing as well as they did.
Yeah, the appreciation level just seems to jump out of the TV screen. All right, let's get to something that's certainly at the top of a lot of conversations lately. The exodus of Pete Pavakwa, the CEO of the PGA of America, going to NBC. First, let's get Alex Maselli's take on that move.
Well, first of all, a great move by Pete Pavakwa. I think it's certainly an upgrade for him, for what he's going to be the president of the NBC Sports. Two, it caught everybody, and I mean, there's not one person I've talked to about this, and it's caught everybody completely off guard. Three, it was pretty clear that Pete wanted to leave because there was a story that came out, I think, within the last day or so about the fact that he was the number one pick of the USOC to take over the USOC. I knew that when I was writing my story for Morning Read over a week ago, but it didn't feel like it was really any part of the equation, so I didn't really mention it. But it was clear that Pete wanted to go, which means now in his exodus from the PGA of America, which won't happen until a week from Sunday, when his last day is the Sunday of the PGA Championship at Belle Reve. The question is what does the PGA of America do? They have so many things on the back burner or on the front burner, depending on how you look at it, and they need to address them. And it took them 5 months to fill Pete Pavakwa's job before, actually in this case, when they hired a new president, when Joe Starenka left, or new CEO. It took them 5 months. It can't take them 5 months this time. They need to move and move quickly. They have a lot of things that they have to address. So, the leader in the clubhouse right now is probably Daryl Kroll, who is the current COO. But it wouldn't surprise me if they pick someone else. But they just have to move quickly.
Let me ask you this, Alex. And once again, he's the publisher, founder of Morning Read. The PGA Tour used to be part of PGA of America. They separated, I think, back in 1968. The PGA Tour became its own identity. I'm hearing some grumblings that maybe the PGA of America is going to be taken in by the PGA Tour, and they'll be all under one umbrella, which would certainly satisfy the cravings of the PGA Tour to have major championship. The PGA Championship would be certainly a major, and then, of course, the Ryder Cup would be an extremely valuable property. Any credence to those rumors?
No credence that I know of, but it's not the first time I've heard that. And I actually, when I was at St. Andrews, I was talking to someone who made that suggestion as well. Look, it certainly would be beneficial in certain ways, and I don't know if it would be a detraction in other ways. I think, it would depend on how they structured the deal. It would mean that I think the PGA Tour would be more receptive and more interested and more responsive to PGA of America professionals. They would create a division that would be focused on that, which is what's necessary and what's needed. And then they could still run the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup separately under the PGA Tour umbrella, under that auspices, and I think everything would work out fine. That being said, that's a huge sea change to do that. I mean, you are having to convince, basically, because it would have to be a bylaws change and everything else, you have to convince 28,000 players or professionals that this is best for them. And, that's going to take some work at the end of the day. But I still think that if you really looked at it and broke it down, you probably would see the benefits for both sides. And in the end, it would make the most sense. That being said, when that's the case, when it makes the most sense, it means it absolutely will not happen.
That's generally the rule of late in professional golf. As we let you go, give us a preview of what we can expect next week when we get to Belrive for the 100th anniversary of the PGA Championship. A lot at stake. Obviously, the person with the most to gain would be Jordan Spieth, being able to complete his career Grand Slam. What are you hearing about going to Belrive?
You know, I have to be honest with you. I haven't heard very much. I think this is a good reason. The fact that you haven't heard very much is probably the number one reason why this is making sense, that this event should move to May in the future, because it will get a lot more interest, a lot more pub than it gets in August. The only reason it was even interesting, you know, every other year was because of the Ryder Cup. But, I mean, you know, now it's not even the same, because back then you would pick the eight players would be picked by points, and then the captain on that Monday would go ahead and make his four captain's picks, and that was it. Well, that's not the case now. We have this long, drawn-out process in regards to captain's picks. So, really, there's no real interest around the PGA Championship, but it's unfortunate, because clearly it's a major championship, and in the case, as you mentioned, Jordan Spieth, he certainly would like to see it won. I think the other thing I know that we're doing this now, I think there's two things that are happening that are interesting, though, that leading into it will be obviously the Bridgestone, and then what will happen to the PGA Championship. That will determine probably at least one or two spots on the Ryder Cup team, and it also determine probably two other spots by selection. There's no question right now, Bob, that Jim Furyk could not, in any way, shape, or form, not pick Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods if they don't earn their way on. So that means that we're going to have 10 of the 12 players decided probably by Sunday night of the PGA Championship on the Ryder Cup team. And I think that's quite interesting, because I'm not a proponent of picking Tiger Woods. I am a proponent of picking Mickelson, only because he seems to play well. He's playing better and better in these cups as he's gotten older and older. Tiger, his record is not very good. That all being said, it will be interesting to see what happens if we're almost reverting back to the days of picking people because of reputation and not picking them because they really earned a spot.
Well, there he is, the mouth that roars, Alex Maselli of MorningRead.com. Some interesting thoughts. I had not officially heard of the Pete Bavakwa move to NBC. That's big for him. Wonder how it'll affect the PGA of America, as we've talked about. There have been some interesting things that have happened within the organization the last couple of years, Bob. And, you know, it's their 100th major championship next week, or their 100th PGA championship. They've still got a little work ahead of them.
Yeah, there's some things that have to be resolved. Hopefully everything will break well for the PGA of America. And I express those sentiments because I'm like you, Jay. I'm on the side of those 29,000 club professionals. There's little doubt in my mind they are the backbone of the game and probably don't get the attention that they really deserve.
You know, I was like Alex. I probably watched more of what took place at St. Andrews than what took place at Glen Abbey. I really, you know, when you see guys that played in British Opens playing at St. Andrews, I almost, in a sense, wish the thing was there every year. I don't know that St. Andrews would want it or the RNA would do it, but hell, I mean, I think you'd get more guys to go play if it was at St. Andrews, and I thought it was perfect, other than poor Longer. I mean, again, he showed he can still strike it as well as anybody, but the putter failed him on Sunday.
Yeah, but that winner is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And the beauty of it is when Miguel Jimenez got to St. Andrews, he was already a winner because he was enjoying his cigars and his wine during the practice rounds. That didn't subside Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And let me assure you, on Sunday night, there was plenty of red flowing in St. Andrews.
Well, and you get the feeling now as we get closer to France and this unique Ryder Cup that we're going to have, that the veterans are probably going to get the captain's nod if they don't somehow play their way on in Mickelson and Tiger Woods. And that's okay. I mean, I do want to get some new blood on there so they get some experience for future years. But, you know, this time around in France, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the crowds are. I don't mind Tiger and Phil being picked, do you?
Well, if you go back to a show we recorded earlier, right after Jim Furyk made the announcement that Tiger Woods was going to be an assistant captain, I said, well, that's kind of foolish, because there was a little doubt in my mind at that time that if he's walking and he's talking, he's going to have a Ryder Cup uniform on and he's going to be teeing it up as a player. That's a slam dunk. Tiger and Phil will definitely be on that team.
And I'd much rather see him on the Ryder Cup than this hokey made-for-TV thing that, like I told you, Bob, I'll be interested to see. If we don't get an announcement in the next couple of weeks, I don't think this thing will happen. I think they floated that thing out there to see if they could get some bites and some interest. Hey, Tiger and Phil, show up at your place, play for $10 million, and we'll put it on TV. Again, I'd much rather see him play in the Ryder Cup in France than someplace in Vegas on a Tuesday night. When we come back, it's time to groove up, courtesy of our friends at Vertical Groove Golf. Don't you dare go anywhere. More golf talk next on The Grill Room.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Time in the show for a quick report from our friends at Vertical Groove Golf. So let's groove up with Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Let's see how our Vertical Groove players did in the Senior British Open. Mark Calcavecchia playing that three wood, tied for 24th. Tim Petrovic, who I almost guarantee is going to win on the Champions Tour this year, 28th. Kenny Perry, you heard Alex Maselli tell us, had a great time, rented a house, had his whole family house right on the 18th fairway at St. Andrews. Doesn't get any better than that. Hey, John Daly, he's going to be playing next week in Belle Reve. We're going to have some fun with him. Certainly looking forward to seeing Big John in your neck of the woods.
No doubt it was 92 when he came to the media day the year after he won, and I was lucky enough to go down to the Cardinal game with him and do some things after the Cardinal game. We'll just leave it at that. He will be in the 100 PGA Championship with his Vertical Groove equipment. Check it out for yourself. Get the three wood. Just visit vertgolf.com. Bob, a couple of sad notes to end on. I think one of the most underrated players of the last 40 years, guy by the name of Bruce Litsky, who had that unique swing, would slide it left to right, loved by the players, his fellow players, always seemed to be in good spirits. Unfortunately, we lost Bruce Litsky.
Yeah, one of the real gentlemen out there, as you alluded to, Jay, and I really had his priorities. He was a fierce competitor. He was very talented competitor. But when golf season was over, and he made sure it was over, the clubs went in the car, in the garage, I should say, and then, you know, time with the wife, time with the family, a gentleman personified. I enjoyed every encounter I had with Bruce Litsky. I wish the entire tour were full of Bruce Litsky's. It would be a much better tour. And then also some additional sad news, Jay.
Yeah, Jared Lyle, who we've talked about a lot, PGA Tour, web.com player, who's been fighting as hard as he can in his fight against leukemia, has made the decision. If you've seen some of the pictures on Twitter, They're really tough to see him with the family. He's decided to stop all cancer treatment and return home with his family to kind of finish things out. And the Grill Room certainly sends our thoughts and prayers to Jared, his wife, and their daughters. Bob, he's one of the good dudes.
Jared Lyle, as good gets in the world of golf. Godspeed, Jared Lyle.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.